60 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
ABC
Media
News,
app.
I'm Brian Clark. The special counsel probe into efforts to overturn the 2020 election result could lead to another indictment for former President Donald Trump. ABC's Rachel Scott says Trump's legal bills have been growing, but he's not the one paying.
$40 million. That's how much sources say the super PAC supporting the former president has paid in legal fees in just a matter of months. All of this comes as the investigations into Donald Trump only intensify.
Trump still leads the Republican primary polls. The communications director for rival Ron DeSantis says, quote, Trump has spent over $60 million this year on two things, falsely attacking Ron DeSantis and paying his own legal fees, not a cent on defeating Joe Biden. Supporters of the military coup in Niger marched in the streets of the capital. A group of West African nations authorized the use of military force if the government's not restored in a week. And back in the U.S., triple-digit temperatures continue in much of the southern part of the country. It's cooling off in the north. This is ABC News. Russian authorities say three Ukrainian drones attacked Moscow, and that led to the temporary closure of one of the four airports around the capital. One person was hurt. There were two fatal air crashes Saturday in Wisconsin. One was part of a massive annual air show. The other involved attendees.
One crash into a lake.
2 miles roughly east from the mouth of the river, 4E, plane down.
First responder radio chatter from Broadcastify on the crash of a World War II-era single-engine plane into Lake Winnebago. Two people were killed, say airport officials. In the same area, but over land.
Metro 7 engine to 1-8, you will be providing medical care and extrication for two patients.
A mid-air crash of a helicopter and gyrocopter. Another two people dead, two others injured, says the sheriff's department. Both crashes under investigation. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
Sources tell ABC that detectives interviewed four individuals at a residence in Montana in the same town where an 18-year-old reappeared nearly 4 years after she disappeared from her home in Arizona. Brian Clark, ABC News.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Todd Alba Show.
Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the project, Lincoln Project, that is, that this is authoritarianism and the early, as Matt Flynn likes to say, the little cat's feet of fascism creeping in.
And the next time I see Scott Walker tweeting about Ronald Reagan taught us, there's never been a bigger bunch of balderdash ever perpetrated on people.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Global trade negotiations are happening this weekend in Seattle. Nations at the table represent 40% of the world's gross domestic product. Critics say the process should come out from behind closed doors. Eric Tegedoff has more.
Meetings for Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation are taking place with the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework trade negotiations at its center. Head of the Washington Fair Trade Coalition, Julia Buana, says her organization and other groups are delivering more than 10,000 petition signatures calling for increased transparency of the trade talks. Buana says corporations dominate talks like this away from public scrutiny.
If we're ever going to deliver on the promise of a new worker-centered, climate-friendly trade model, people need to know what's being proposed in these talks while there's still an opportunity to influence the rules being written.
The Indo-Pacific Economic Framework includes a dozen countries, including India, Japan, South Korea, and Vietnam. Buana says big technology companies could play an outsized role because of their access to the talks.
What we're really worried about is that these big tech companies will essentially rig trade deals, putting in clauses that will undermine consumer privacy, data security, AI accountability, and anti-monopoly rules.
Buana says the Indo-Pacific Economic Framework could have the same effect as other trade deals, in which jobs are shipped from the U.S. to other parts of the world.
That means workers here are losing good union-paying jobs, and workers abroad are continuing to be exploited and oppressed.
The Biden administration says the deal will make supply chains more resilient, protecting against costly disruptions that lead to higher prices for consumers. I'm Eric Tegedoff. Find our 8 trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
And you're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Tom from Madtown. Welcome, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Hey, guys. Heard you talking about Robin Voss, so I called Robin Voss's office and said, yeah, why is DEI so dangerous? And nothing. The guy just stopped talking. I said, hello, are you there? I called him back, and the phone got picked up, and then they didn't say anything. You know, maybe you'll learn something if you listen to The Devil's Advocate.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
What if I just, instead of giving out the talk and text line, just started giving up Robin Voss's number all the time?
He needs to hear from us. He needs to know.
It's 844-96-PARTY. What is it?
Write it down. 608-237-9163.
Fishing, loving every day.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on 540 AM, WAUK 101 FM, The Shaw. Holy cow. I happened to be out at 3 o'clock in the morning in my driveway, and do you know what it did to me, Danielle? Do you know what it did?
It what?
For 1 second, I smelled that smell in the air when you are up to go waterfowl hunting in the fall, and that certain fall smell, which people tell me is like dead animals and dead birds and not birds, but dead worms and stuff. That's kind of the smell, the rotting leaves and everything. But for a half a second, I had that feeling right before waterfowl season that you get when you're up in the middle of the dark, you're still wiping the sleep out of your eyes, and that excitement curls up the back of your spine and hits your neck, and you're going to jump in your car, and you got the decoys in the back, you have the layout blinds in the back, and you're going to drive in the middle of the foggy dark to get somewhere in September, and it's hot as hell.
Very hot.
And you got, you know, your camo long sleeve shirt on and shorts, because it's going to be 90 degrees on the 1st of September, but we are like, I mean, a month away from the opening of goose season here in Wisconsin.
I'm very excited for this.
And so what goes into my mind as I travel back and forth from the Capitol in Madison, and I'm, you know, the fowl life stuff is in the middle of the season now. Ted Nugent shows in the middle of the season, the cooking segments, I'm cooking wild game at the house. It's awesome. And now I'm seeing wheat getting cut already.
I know.
Like, this is really early, really early. So now I'm starting to worry, is that wheat going to be grown out before the geese get here? But I did have a little bit of a good feeling because I started seeing some really early flocks coming in, and that always gets me really jazzed.
And I got super nervous because once I start seeing that wheat come off, I'm like, okay, now it's time to start knocking on some doors. Get acquainted with
what
some
are you
people.
Talking about? Start knocking on doors. I've been knocking on doors since June.
Because I am terrible.
No, you always say you're terrible about knocking on doors. And we talk about the hardest thing in hunting is scouting, and that's what actually hunting is. Hunting is scouting.
It is scouting.
The day you show up, the day you show up and hope they come to the X, that's killing.
Yeah.
You hope.
Joel, if you looked like Danielle, you could wait until now to start making your friends in the field, too.
Oh, isn't that sweet, Danielle? Anastasia's in there just shaking her head.
I X'd out of our Zoom. If you're watching live on Facebook, I just done messed up.
Okay, that mystery voice. Who
is this mystery voice?
You actually have a voice for radio. That's Bruce Ross, our guest this week, the executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. An extensive resume. He's married. We just learned you're married to a lawyer.
I am. I am. She's a family attorney as well. So, prenups were in our early discussions, and she claims to be my wife for life. And I think I'm here.
You brought up prenup. Now, I never would have had the guts to say, do you have was a prenup involved?
Yeah, I'm comfortable in my masculinity and in my relationship with my bride. We've been married 20 years this year.
So did there end up being a prenup or not?
Okay, did you talk about a prenup prior to proposing?
Oh, I knew it was coming.
You knew it was coming.
Of course. I mean, this is what she does for a living. So.
Oh, my gosh. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So how did we get into this right off the bat? Right?
You started it. You came right out and said it. I mean, there's even a smirk on Anastasia's face.
My goodness.
I have nothing to say about prenup.
No, Anastasia, what is your input on prenups? I want to know.
Fun fact, for Jewish people, we actually have a prenup. It's called a ketubah. And the whole contract is all about basically if things go awry, what are your rights within our culture? So I'm sort of religiously required to have a prenup.
A ketubah.
A ketubah with
ketubah.
A B.
Ketubah. Like ketubah with a K.
Sure, yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And it's a big, beautiful scroll, and a lot of couples put it up on their wall at home. And it's basically a big contract that says here are your rights, and if one day we don't want to be married, we take this document ketubah. To where we take it to and... Yeah, so.
No.
Danielle, you have no.
No.
Without overstepping any bounds here, really, Danielle, you're saying that, I mean, you're like giving advice on the marriage front? The woman who's had a boyfriend for 472 years? Like, according to. Oh, my God.
Prenups. I do not believe it, because if you get a prenup prior to getting married, that's just like saying I'm going to divorce you, but it is.
No, I don't think so.
I'm already thinking about divorce even before I propose to you.
I don't have a pre. Oh my gosh, we've gone so off track.
This is not hunting.
This
I'm so angry right now.
This is definitely raised in Wisco. That's how it goes. So, okay, let's get down to the simple matter that Bruce Ross clearly has something very much in common with me, and that's that we both married up.
That's absolutely, I hope she's listening to this, because that's clearly the case, and I'm fortunate to have found her, and that she sticks with me, and she supports my hunting habit.
Does she hunt with you?
She does not, but she enjoys the dog work that goes into preparing a dog for the field, and so that's where she gets her kicks.
And she's a muskie fisherman.
And she's a muskie fisherman, as we talked about before. And she, you know, her largest 47 and a half. I need to mention that.
That's
she enjoys walking the grouse fields with me.
She's
great.
Lady.
She is.
You know, a lot of people. I hear this from a lot of people. Men, women, doesn't matter. If you are going to go into a marriage and you are a diehard outdoors person, hunter, fisherman, you got to have kind of some deal with your potential spouse or your future spouse before you go into it, saying, hey, look, you need to know the importance this plays in my life.
Yep.
Because that part of it ain't going to change. And God only knows it could get more intense.
Yeah,
mine gets more intense every year.
Yeah, we were together for about three almost 4 years, and so she got a sense of who I was before we got married, and knew that hunting and fishing was going to be a big part of our lives. In fact, second date with her, she got a fly fisherman's vest filled with fly fishing gear, and when the water opened up, we were out fly fishing, and she was learning
as a gift from me to her, and she didn't see that as like you giving her a vacuum.
No, she was very excited. She saw it as an opportunity to build a new trousseau.
And that clearly it was. So I have to tell you, that's one thing that's very weird. Now, everybody knows that I'm married 24 years. We have this year is our 24 year anniversary coming up in three weeks. By the way.
Happy anniversary.
She wanted to be 24 when we got married, so her birthday's on the 7th, where she's turning the ripe old age of 35. Love you, honey. And,
well done.
Twinsies.
And we got married on the 14th, exactly 1 week after her birthday. Now, I did not hunt when we first got married.
You did not.
In fact, I didn't start hunting till I was 38 years old. I've only hunted for 14 years. Now, what that ended up kind of coinciding with was me quitting drinking. So even though she didn't have the wherewithal, or we didn't have in our relationship her saying, oh my gosh, what is this new crazy thing that's taking you away into the fields all the time? I think for her, maybe it was a very fair trade for me to quit hitting the sauce and take up hunting and become, I mean, because I became, I mean, like the parabolic for me. I started hunting, and within 3, 4, 5 years, I was like, that was everything that I did for anxiety relief, for joy, for fun, for relaxation.
and did it with my
kids.
And
you've made it into a career.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is a rare blessing. I'm going to tell you that. That is an unbelievably rare blessing. And the three of us at this table, you know, everybody I know who's in the outdoors says their dream is to work in the outdoors and get paid for it. Mm-hmm. I think that what about 90% of the people who say, I'd love to be on a TV show, radio show, I'd love to get paid to hunt, they don't understand the amount of hard work that is. Yeah. And if you work in the outdoors, very little chance that you're going to support your family and pay a mortgage on that job you have in the outdoors.
Oh, yeah. That takes a lot. It's an all day, every day situation, not a 9-to-5. It's all day, every day.
Yes.
Yeah, my There's passion no may be outdoors, but my profession is organizational development. So that's what I do with WWA. Right. So that's the thing that has driven me and what motivates me in my job as executive director with Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. In the coast, I spent a long time in the Coast Guard, 28 years. And so
thank you for that, by the way. Our coast is the safest coast in the world.
It's safe, but it was a phenomenal experience. People say thank you, but it just was life-changing for me, brought me to Wisconsin. I grew up in Pennsylvania, so that's awesome. Why I wasn't raised.
You do have a little bit of a Pennsylvania Dutch accent.
Yeah, I round the O's a little bit, but it's not too far away from. I grew up in Pennsylvania Dutch country, Lancaster County.
He does. I can tell that. I'm a linguist, Danielle. You know that.
I know that.
I love little differences in language and linguistics. I love it.
Yeah, so the Coast Guard brought me here to Wisconsin, and I just fell in love with it. And then, of course, I fell in love with my wife, who was raised in Wisco, and we settled here.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you hunt with the Amish ever while you were in Pennsylvania?
No, I actually took up hunting after I went away to college. I went to the Coast Guard Academy, and a friend at the Coast Guard Academy took me out grouse hunting in Maine. And
and
it took me like 3 years to shoot my first grouse, but it was a great experience, and I was kind of hooked thereafter.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And so the bottom line is, though, I mean, look, Danielle and I, no offense to Mike Crute, love you, brother, and being on the radio show is phenomenal, but we're not paying our mortgages working on the radio show. I'm telling you that. It's a joy, and it helps. It helps. Everything helps. But if you want to be in the outdoor industry and get paid or you know, have a career that has to do with it, very often you literally have to do other things. You have to have other incomes. You have to have other sources. But you have to have a passion for it and realize it's not just going and hunting, going and fishing at all. In fact, 90% of the work really has quite nothing to do with the fact that you're out there. It's the editing. It's the hours in the edit booth. It's the preparation for the shows. It's the coming up with
the recipes.
Wait
a second. You just told us that you were thinking about this.
No giving away secrets here.
Okay, sorry. I didn't.
My brain
that rule was
so big.
That rule was not described before I came on the air.
Bruce is just very impressed with what corners of my mind have locked in for the preparation of the show. But when we have guests as fascinating as him,
who needs a lot of preparation? No, he already prepped for us. He came here with
two sheets on
Danielle,
cards.
Now who's giving away secrets? Come on.
I'm impressed. You have notes.
Just go in the middle.
Point your finger on the page and tell me one of the notes while we go into break.
Youngers, decoy painting. Decoy placement, pelican, archery, duck call. Oh my
God. These are all things that kids can do at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo coming up on the 26th of August.
We're going to talk a lot
in Oshkosh.
Dogs.
We're going into the break. But I think we should maybe hand out Bruce's personal cell phone, and they can call him, and he can go through in detail the two pages of cardstock he's got. Folks, Luke Bryan's taking us to the break. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco, 540 AM, 101 FM, WAUK.
It doesn't hurt, feels good to help. And when you give blood, you provide a life-saving difference for others. The need doesn't take a summer break, so we have a challenge for you, started by Civic Media's Earl Ingram.
Congratulations to all those people and all of you who donate blood.
Take a selfie while giving blood, then post it along with hashtag Civic Pints. Give blood and you could get a prize, too. Find challenge details and a donation center near you at civicmedia.us/giveblood. civicmedia.us/giveblood.
One call can do it all. Your business's message can be broadcast across the entire state of Wisconsin through the Civic Media Network of stations, or we can focus the campaign in your hometown. We have the flexibility. You have the control. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
It's so hot. Wait, now it's going to rain? It is summer in Wisconsin.
As much as we love it, we love to hate it too. Find a forecast you can count on along with the in-depth details you need, only from the Civic Media Weather Team.
These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought. Sitting in these above average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate.
Your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Aldous Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Aldous Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Because I joined last night and I'm hopeful. Wow. I'm hopeful that it is more fun than Twitter has been lately, because Twitter has not been that fun lately.
I do wish it weren't those two.
I know. It's a weird thing to be cheering for Mark Zuckerberg right now.
I'm choosing between the Joker and the Penguin. This is not a winning solution.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry and Jane Mattenair. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
I'll be sitting home drinking something strong, wishing I was there with a good buzz. The two of us sitting reminiscing about the way it was.
This stuff's good stuff, man. Living high. I'm going to tell you what. In a couple of years, when this guy's the hottest thing in Nashville and across the country, we're going to have him on the show again.
That'd be awesome. He's like the coolest guy ever.
He's like the coolest guy ever. Folks, welcome to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman. Danielle, we've been alongside each other in the waters and woods of this state on the TV on our old TV show, Kill It, Clean It, Cook It.
Yes, we have.
On podcasts for The Foul Life. We've been knocking around as sidekicks for quite a while. One of the most fascinating pieces of hunting we ever did was that goofy turkey hunt where you insisted on bringing your bow.
You weren't angry. You'd be like, really? Are you really doing this right now?
I wasn't angry, but it was like your first turkey, wasn't it? It was like one of your first turkey hunts ever?
It wasn't my first one. Because my first one I got in Fond du Lac.
Okay.
That was one of my first, like, three, maybe five.
So we head into
But it was our first turkey hunt.
Right, and I scouted the hell out of the area I lived in, and I still drive. I mean, I drive by it almost every day on my scout route. Looking for and I drive past the spot. She brought her bow, and I had turkeys. We called in this massive tom.
You called it in from like 2 football fields
away?
Yeah,
it was at least. It was probably more like 500, 600 yards away. And we called him in, and he came marching right to the beat, right on top of the decoys.
Jumped over a creek, over and through.
And she winds up with her bow. This thing's 10 feet in front of her. Now,
okay, not 10 feet. I'm not that bad of a shot. Well, at that time, I was a new hunter,
10 yards. Too. Maybe 10 yards. She winds up with her bow and totally like, did you even skim the turkey?
No, I did not.
No. So the arrow's in the ground. I think the turkey went up and started sniffing the arrow.
It did not, but we could go with that.
And so, fortunately, against Danielle's better judgment, I brought a shotgun just in case.
I brought my shotgun too.
Yeah, so I
ended up shooting it with my shotgun.
Yeah, you did, and you harvested a turkey, and that was an awesome hunt. And actually, to tell you the truth, that story makes the hunt that much more fun. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, do you remember how heavy and tough it was to haul all that crap with the 25-pound turkey
too.
In the middle of the pouring rain out of that field?
Yeah.
I think that's why I have heart troubles today because of that haul.
You're welcome.
Bruce Ross is with us. He's the executive director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. And Bruce, I'm not sure we've learned as much about any guest in 15 minutes as we learned about you in the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, I'm going to be shamed when I get home. There's no question.
I highly doubt it. You know what? I've found my wife, I think spouses love to be lauded on the media. They'll act like, oh, stop. Oh, I would stop. And then they're like, yeah, that's pretty cool. He says he married up. That's true. Yeah. And then, you know, he talked about me having a law degree. Well, he doesn't have a law degree. So, yeah, I think, I mean, if I talk about my wife, oh, yeah, I was in the state legislature. And she's like, yeah, lieutenant governor. Sorry about it. Yeah,
right. Trump.
Nice to meet you.
I was like, I was a reporter for Channel 12. She'd be like, anchor. Tossing to my sorry ass. Freezing in a snowbank while she sits in the warm studio.
You know, Joel, we first met about 23 years ago when you were a reporter for one of the local TVs. I was the base commander of the Coast Guard base in Milwaukee. We were doing some sort of PSA on kayak paddling in cold water. And so I remember you distinctly because you were wearing a suit and tie and cut off shorts.
What?
Underneath
I knew
that.
It. I knew he was going to say that. That does not surprise me. What's really funny is I got busted.
That's so
okay,
funny.
I want to tell you, I vaguely remember that. I remember almost every story I ever covered in the 10 years I had the honor of being an investigative reporter and a reporter and fill-in anchor at Channel 12. It was a great, and I tell everybody, everything you need to know in life, you can learn in TV news. You have to become an expert in a different subject every day and then explain it to people in about a minute and 15 seconds. So that career was really fantastic. I look back on that career so fondly. I really do. And the people you get to meet and the things you get to experience while you're doing it really kind of was the base. That was the launch pad for running for the legislature. I saw how some laws being changed because of stories we did. That is the launch pad for my being able to do a outdoor hunting television, hunting and fishing television shows. I would like to say it was the launch pad for my cooking, but that was my Italian mom 100%. But I remember, you know, doing stories like that. And I have to tell you, I was on a Zoom call the other day with one of my clients, and my boss from that client was on the Zoom call. And while I'm on the Zoom call and I'm in a suit, and she texts me, "Are you wearing shorts?" Now,
were you?
Well, of course I was. I mean, yes. How many people don't wear shorts on Zoom calls? I mean, nowadays.
I don't think I've really ever been on a Zoom call.
Well, you're on one right now, aren't you?
You're kind of on a Zoom scenario as we speak.
Although clearly you don't know what you're doing because you kicked us off there a few minutes ago.
There was a thing. I wanted to see our beautiful.
There's a glitch in the matrix.
I wanted to see your beautiful face, so I had to get rid of a screen, but I got rid of the wrong screen.
And Anastasia's shaking her head again.
I know. She's mad at me because I didn't bring Bandit today.
No, I'm mad because it's the third time this week a host has closed out of a Zoom call on me, and it's the same button every time. I'm just a little perturbed.
It usually says...
Anastasia goes a lot to prepare for our perfection on the air.
Ugh.
Do you believe...
She's laughing at you, not
Anastasia,
me.
Have you seen this? Have you seen these conspiracy theories about living in a matrix, that we're in some matrix that someone else is controlling?
What?
Yeah.
What? Yes, but I don't believe in them. So
I don't either.
Sounds like a good movie, though.
Yeah,
it was a good
The Matrix.
Movie. It is very similar to the movie, and now there are conspiracy. I don't understand. My TikTok is filled with all these like conspiracy
You can change
theories.
That by looking up some other stuff.
I don't look up anything. I don't ever look up anything.
Start looking stuff up.
I think they just think like
I have dogs.
I think they
and
look
hunting.
And go like fat middle aged white guy. And then they say, oh, he's probably a conspiracy theorist. I can't tell. I don't know.
It's probably what their voice is like, too.
And I am not that fat. I'm just medium fat. I used to be super fat. Now I'm medium fat. And I'm working on being less than medium fat. And that's how fast the show goes, folks. We got 20 seconds. We're going to the break. Give us a call. What's the number, Danielle?
844-967-2789.
You're listening to Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish, Danielle Fairman, our guest, Bruce Ross.
Going
to talk about the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo coming up. We'll be right back.
This summer, Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK has a new starting lineup. 4 to 6, The Devil's Advocates with Tom and Crude. Then at 6, The Maggie Dawn Show. WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The special counsel probe into efforts to overturn the 2020 election result could lead to another indictment for former President Donald Trump. ABC's Rachel Scott says Trump's legal bills have been growing, but he's not the one paying.
$40 million. That's how much sources say the super PAC supporting the former president has paid in legal fees in just a matter of months. All of this comes as the investigations into Donald Trump only intensify.
Trump still leads the Republican primary polls. The communications director for rival Ron DeSantis says, quote, Trump has spent over $60 million this year on two things, falsely attacking Ron DeSantis and paying his own legal fees, not a cent on defeating Joe Biden. Supporters of the military coup in Niger marched in the streets of the capital. A group of West African nations authorized the use of military force if the government's not restored in a week. And back in the U.S., triple-digit temperatures continue in much of the southern part of the country. It's cooling off in the north. This is ABC News.
Consumers everywhere are rediscovering the benefits of buying locally produced food. Not only is it fresher, tastier, and more nutritious, it's also good for the local economy. And did you know the Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth hamburger and hot dog buns and rolls you love are baked right here in the Midwest? With the state-of-the-art bakeries and facilities throughout the Midwest, freshly baked buns and rolls are delivered fresh every day to your neighborhood grocers. Village Hearth and Artisan Hearth buns and rolls, locally baked, delivered fresh daily.
Tired of hearing only one side of the story? Do you want news and information from people who, like you, know what it's like to work hard every day and still struggle to make ends meet? Then tune in to The Rick Smith Show every weeknight from 8 to 10 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Be part of the conversation. Tune in, turn on, and take back the American dream. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
I have Corrine Hendrickson, part of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Action Needed group.
The Joint Finance Committee, again in the middle of the night, took that out and said, well, hey, you have all this money coming from the federal government. Why don't you use that to create this program? Well, guess what? We proved it worked. Wages went up $2 an hour. There actually are a couple extra childcare businesses open now than there were about a year ago. And that's going to stop. Just Monday, we lost two.
Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Devil's Advocates Radio.
The entire light beer industry is under attack from the right at this time. Apparently that they no longer have women in bikinis selling the beer.
I would suggest, and this is on the Fox Entertainment Network.
I believe it's the Fox News. Well,
well, I just hope I don't get into Captain Morgan and Diet Cokes, man. That'd be a sad day.
The Devil's Advocates Radio with Dom and Crute. Weekdays 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
A guy named Bill out in Econowalk. Bill's got some thoughts on that.
Yeah, thanks for talking about what you're talking about right now. Your station, you raise the bar high for integrity. You are a community radio station, which means you look out for all the citizens in the state of Wisconsin.
Daily conversations about Wisconsin's latest headlines and stories. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
I'm turning off a real-life drive, and that's right. I'm hitting Easy Street on my tires. Back in the day, Potts Farm was the place to go. Load the truck up, hit the dirt road. Jump the barbed wire, spread the word.
Light
the
bonfire and call the girls. A lot of country songs are so simplistic. I mean, you could take, like, all you have to do is put, like, dirt road, truck, dogs.
Hunting,
drinking, beer. It's a fairly simple formula. I think I could probably write a country song on the spot.
I feel like if I had my piano
in front of me, I could probably write a country song pretty simply.
I would listen to it.
Well, you might listen to it once. I don't know if it's going to be a repeat hit or anything. Hey, I just want to remind everybody, tell them about this. You know, Robin Kennedy and the Kennedy clan out in Oconomowoc are 7 loyal listeners.
We love them.
I'm going to be with Robin on Saturday for the Ham and Jam.
Ham and Jam?
The Ham and Jam.
Like actual ham on the bone?
Well, no, I think it's like pork and pork products, like pulled pork sandwiches, barbecue. In Beaver Dam from noon to 4-ish, the Ham and Jam is going to support the Disability Work Center. So if you are in on or around Beaver Dam or Beaver Darn, if you don't like to swear, you can head out to the Ham and Jam. Grab yourself a pulled pork sandwich.
Oh, you are easily amused, Daniel.
Beaver, what do you think I have on the show for? Someone's got to laugh at my stupid dad jokes, Bruce. The ham and jam going on in Beaver Dam to support the work center up in Beaver Dam, Green Valley Enterprises. And
I'm
so,
only
going to
call Beaver
I'm
Dam,
be
Beaver
there.
Darn.
I'm going to be in my ham and jam t-shirt.
You have a ham
I might eat ham, and I may jam with the band.
I feel
so
like
it'll be ham and jam.
Be eating ham and eat jammies.
It'll be ham and jam, clayfish jam with the band.
Will we hear your new song?
There we go.
Bruce, you might become a regular staple on the show, Bruce. You're kind of funny. You're a little bit irreverent. You know, you were talking about one of the podcasts we did with Chad Belding and how he was hammering on me for physical fitness. I think if Bruce Ross opened up a little bit and got a little time, I think he'd kind of fit right into that, the way we kind of hammer on each other and give it to each other a little bit.
Well, I might need your 30 years of experience to get comfortable in front of the microphone. And
I disagree.
And all the preparation. Clearly, I have notes, and you just have the mind. So
we have not even got to...
I know.
Any of these things.
Why did you invite me on? You didn't invite me on to talk about my personal life.
You started it with the personal life, but I'm telling you, we're not going to get to any of that stuff. But dang it, let's get Anastasia.
Okay.
I got to get on course in here, for gosh sake.
I'm trying to write a description for this show back here. Having an aneurysm. Yeah. I have written down, this episode is about duck hunting, sort of.
Yeah. Well, we may get there yet.
Like we're going to...
Okay, what are the three missions of WWA?
She's reading from my notes now. I'm a little embarrassed.
I'm quizzing you.
Okay. So WWA's been around for 40 years.
Awesome.
Which is a little bit younger than me, but we've done in that 40 years three different things. So we are a state-based waterfowling organization. We first of all, we do habitat restoration. So wetlands are critical to ducks and many other forms of wildlife. We restore wetlands on private lands, on public lands throughout the state. We've lost as a state about 5 million acres of wetlands since statehood. We've lost it. It's just gone. So
development mainly?
Development and agricultural drainage for trying to turn marginal wetlands into productive soil. And that's great for our farmers, but it has cost us in the terms of wetlands, and that affects waterfowl. And so that's one of the things we do. We care about the next generation. We think waterfowlers, with the taxes they do, with the funding of WWA and Ducks Unlimited and Delta Waterfowl, and all the good work that they do, and the money that comes through taxes, Pittman Robertson money, every time we buy a shotgun shell or we buy a shotgun, 11% of that goes back to the states.
Or a 30-06 shell, or black powder, or anything.
Fishing gear in not Pittman Robertson, but Dingle Johnson money.
That's right.
That comes back to the state in form of habitat work or education work.
Segregated funding to make sure we continue to proliferate wetlands.
Yeah, absolutely. So we think waterfowlers are great for their communities. They're great for the environment. So we help educate them. And then finally, because waterfowlers do a lot for us, we like to advocate for wetlands and for waterfowlers, and whether we're talking to regulators or we're talking legislators like you used to be, Joel.
I don't think that people realize the conservation that happens in the state of Wisconsin is so much of it is thanks to the people who hunt and fish. It's bizarre. We've talked about it on the show before. You've got the people who are the hunters, and then you have the anti-hunters. Mm-hmm. There are people, and those are kind of, I think they're kind of starting to meet in the middle a little bit more. I think there's much more of an understanding. But I think that there is not this complete understanding of the anti-hunter. Let's say somebody loves the silent sports. They like to kayak. They like to mountain climb. They like to use the parks, have fires, but they're diametrically opposed to hunting. I think they don't necessarily, and some do obviously, realize the reason we have proliferated such beautiful species in the state of Wisconsin is very much on the backs of the money spent by hunters, mm-hmm. anglers, fishermen, in the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, the vast majority of the DNR's fish and wildlife funding comes through hunting and fishing anglers and hunters. And so really important to the environment that we're talking about in Wisconsin, which is one of the reasons, in addition to my wife, that I decided to retire in Wisconsin was because of all of the activities, the outdoor activities that it offers, whether it's hunting and fishing or it's those silent sports you mentioned. But I think in between those two extremes of, you know, the anti-hunter and the hunter, there's a lot of people in between who just have this neutral feeling or don't know anything about it. They don't have anti-hunting feelings.
I think
feelings.
It's more apathetic than agnostic.
Or they just don't know, right? I mean, the knowledge is, you know, there's so many things that our kids plug into, we plug into the screens that are in front of us. It's easier to do that than it is to get outside. And so there's a lot of education that we hope to do.
And that's what I want to talk about the WWA real quick. You know, look, I love Ducks Unlimited. I love Wisconsin Waterfowl, Pheasants Forever, Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation, SCI. I'm hugely involved in SCI. Those are great organizations, but those are giant umbrellas, all right? The beauty of the WWA is it's got local chapters, local areas throughout the state of Wisconsin, and they are concerned. You become a member of the WWA and you go to a WWA banquet, you're going to meet somebody who is a hunter. And if you are not, these are the perfect organizations to get involved with because they are they're filled with people yearning to pass on the tradition of waterfowl hunting. These are where you go knowing absolutely nothing, maybe win a pump action shotgun, maybe win a time in a blind with Bruce, maybe hear about the youth hunt that you didn't know about that you can take your child on. And these are the places that the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association is the group that really concentrates on getting you involved, giving you the tools necessary to become a waterfowler throughout the state of Wisconsin. That's what I love about it. I love grassroots stuff, and WWA's grassroots.
Yeah, absolutely. So we are launching a program called the Waterfowlers Academy to expand and build on our Learn to Hunt programs. We're trying to reach out to, I'm going to say, underrepresented communities, and that might include a Danielle type person. I know Danielle hunts. I'm not trying to say that. But there's a lot of women who do not because they haven't been exposed. They haven't had the opportunity to do that. So our program is trying to be more inclusive so that it's not just people who look like you and me. Who are out there.
Are you talking about handsome middle-aged men with hair?
Yeah.
Well, at least.
Well, handsome.
Oh, no, I'm all about getting women out there, women and children out there hunting and fishing. I try to do at least two or three hunts every year with just females.
Yeah, so we've got a program coming up this year under the Waterfowler Academy that's by women for women. So they're going to be hunting Trempealeau Federal kind of reserve in a unique agreement in order to get women taught by women out into the field to waterfowl.
It's definitely different for us women, I tell you that. Mansplaining. I know you guys know what that is. I know
use
you
the word mansplaining.
I am using the word mansplaining. Okay.
Nobody can ever look at me. I'm married to a woman who's more successful than me, better looking, more fit, and smarter. And so, and I'm perfectly fine.
Rebecca,
with
are you
she
listening?
She succeeded in every aspect of my life. She goes into every profession I do, does it better, and gets paid more. So at least nobody can accuse me of being chauvinistic. I mean, I am all about the equal rights, and I. The fastest growing group of new hunters is women.
It is.
That's why I
women
love
are
this.
Getting out there helping
I love
each
this.
Other.
I thrive, and I know, Bruce, you're probably in this category, and Danielle, too. I get much more thrill taking a new hunter and watching them pull the trigger and maybe get something, maybe not, watch the sunrise for the first time, hear the woods waking up for the first time, than I do actually pulling the trigger myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I love to hunt, and I love to harvest, and I love to cook. I love the cooking as much as the hunting, but I get a personal sense of satisfaction, thrill, enjoyment, and passion for it, for taking somebody out there and having them experience it for the first time with me.
Oh, yeah. I just took my sister and a friend out salmon fishing. They'd never been on a charter, never caught a salmon. And they both got them right away. And then my sister and I hooked up at the same time. That was awesome. But,
So I got to ask you,
every single time.
Have you ever eaten salmon sushi grade right on the boat?
Ew, no.
No? Do you like sushi?
I mean, I wouldn't choose it.
Do you like sushi, Bruce?
I love sushi.
I do, too. You know, Well, you know the inside of a fish is sterile. Did you know that? Yeah, it's sterile. So you can eat like you can. I've seen them do it with tuna, and I know they serve salmon raw in sushi. So I bet you could just, slice one of those suckers open and
Why don't you come out on the charter next time?
Ooh, I love fishing and I love salmon fishing, and I even at times love Mike Keller. At times I don't, but at times I do, and I would go. And I'll tell you, I got seasick once on Lake Michigan.
Yeah, no worse feeling in the world. I was in the Coast Guard for 28 years, and early in my career, I would occasionally, in 20-foot seas, get seasick. And boy, it's a good thing the guns were locked up because it's the worst thing in the world. And especially if you're out there for weeks at a time, there's no relief. You get over it in a few days, but it's a bad juju. Yes.
So that one time I got seasick on a salmon charter, and it was 4-foot rollers. It wasn't anything crazy, but that constant up and down motion messes with your inner ear. And that was now I'm like scared to go on a salmon boat. In harbors. I'll go, I've done the drop shotting for browns and zeaflelins, trout. I'll do that in the harbors. But when it comes to getting on the big water, and make no mistake about it, Lake Michigan is big water.
It is. It definitely. When you look out there, when you get out there, it's completely different. Yeah. I get terrified knowing that we're in 90 feet of water. No.
Yeah, I come in.
I've gotten seasick on Winnebago on 20 feet of water, but I haven't got sick on Lake Michigan or even in the ocean.
Yeah, I'll do it again sometime on a calm day. I do love getting out there and running the planer boards and running the cranks for the salmon out in Wisconsin. We have, and that's just something, another thing. Wisconsin is so underrated for what we have and can do here. It's insane. We're catching ocean fish in Lake Michigan. We're catching those same species, the slightly different species, in the streams and brooks out in Mazamani and Dane County. We've got some of the best. We've got literally the best buck deer hunting in the world. We kill more waterfowl per capita in the state of Wisconsin, more geese per capita than any other state in the country with the giant Canadians.
You can harvest sea ducks in Lake Michigan.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
Sea ducks, right?
Oh, yeah,
so,
long tails, for sure.
Yeah, I would love. I cannot wait to get an old squaw.
Yeah.
It's an underestimated hidden corner of the world. In fact,
There's not enough time to do everything that Wisconsin offers. Again, one of the reasons I settled here, I made a conscious choice to settle here in Wisconsin because of all of the things that it offers an outdoors person. And so my three seasons are hunting, fishing, and then I woodwork in between. So it's just a great state. Of course, my wife was a part of that decision, but it's a... I don't regret it, and my friends in the Coast Guard who stayed on the coasts are envious, I want to believe.
I got to ask you a question. In Wisconsin, the average person who buys a waterfowl permit, buys a waterfowl license, gets their duck stamp, state and federal duck stamp, shoots or harvests 2.5 items of waterfowl a year. The average person. So you take guys like me who are getting, hundreds. And then you take people who are getting zero, but it averages out to 2.5. We're going to go to break right now, but when we come back, I want to start with how do we change that, and how do we change the apathy that continues to grow for the outdoor industry and turn it around and get the kids off the 3-inch by 7 inches and get them out into the waters and woods. We'll be right back.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
So much waiting for me. Yeah, I wanna go outside. I wanna be.
We're here.
Whoa, that was fast.
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council. More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
Old dirt road and a country boy is all I'll ever be. Now it's been 12 years since I sold my soul to the devil in LA. He said, sign your name here.
Welcome back to Raising Wisconsin. Your host, Joel Clayfish, alongside Danielle Fairman and Bruce Ross, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association, loading us up with knowledge, personal and otherwise. I mean, we got a little off track today, but it's been fun. I don't know how you don't like Aaron Lewis. I just don't know how you don't like Aaron Lewis.
Everyone has to love him.
Do you remember when Chad called Aaron Lewis on our ride back from the Brewer game?
Oh, my goodness, I do.
Chad's like, yeah, we're going to have Aaron Lewis come out for your birthday next year, Joel.
Yeah. I'm just leaning around the back seat, looking at the front seat, like, is this really happening right now?
Down an older road.
Okay.
We're going to have to go do karaoke.
We have to get back on track.
Dang it. Yeah, we do. Bruce Ross, you have put...
I'm enjoying this.
You have put so much effort into the Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo that it had a break during COVID. It has literally, like, an unbelievable successful event in one day, like, couple of years, 3 years into its rebirth.
Yeah, it's kind of
crazy. It blows my mind.
It's kind of crazy. I think we've got a tiger by the tail, you know, and we didn't really fully appreciate this when this group of conservation-minded volunteers really got together to start talking about, you may remember the Great Outdoor Days.
Maybe
15 years ago or so, and it was this huge success, but it disbanded. So we wanted to put on something that would appeal, that would be everything waterfowl for the state's waterfowlers. We weren't looking to make a lot of money at it. What we were trying to do is create this extravaganza that would do a number of things. One, build the community of waterfowlers, right? So, you know, waterfowling gets in your heart, it gets in your mind,
and it
takes control of your falls. And so building that community outside of that hunting season was something that we thought would be valuable. And we also thought it would be a way to help in our education mission from, you know, the kid who doesn't know anything about waterfowling all the way up to the seasoned veteran of the marshes who wants to know a little bit more about wetland restoration or about what's happening with the duck populations. And so we have created this extravaganza, really, and we had 3,500 people through the doors the first year, 4,500 last year in one day. And it is crazy.
It's going to be bigger this year.
Oh, it's going to be huge this year. We had 43 exhibitors year one. We had 90 last year. We're going to have over 130 this year, 180 booths so that you can buy stuff if you want, or you can learn about stuff by wandering through the booths. We've got dog activities, but if you bring your family, that 4-year-old is going to have something fun to do. That 17-year-old's going to have something fun to do in this incredibly expanded youth zone, headlined probably by a sporting clay type shoot for 14 to 17-year-olds. And we're going to hand away thousands of dollars of prizes
to
these guys and gals, hopefully. So there's something for everybody. You want to paint a decoy? Bring your kid. All sorts of stuff going on. August 26th. Google Wisconsin Waterfowl Hunters Expo. You're going to find our website, and it's going to tell you not only how to buy a ticket, but where it is, August It's in Oshkosh, August 26th. That's a Saturday.
At the Sunnyview Convention
shine.
Center.
Sunnyview Expo Center. Great venue. Lots of room for expansion. And we've already expanded into a third building in only our third year. So there's a lot to see and do. And we're only barely scratching the surface.
And I have to tell you, the beauty of what I love about the Waterfowl Hunters Expo is it is like oldest of the old school and absolutely brand new hunters and everybody in between. I mean, you know, these Jamokes I hunt with in their 20s, like their mid to late 20s now, who, by the way, all of my friends listening who I waterfowl hunt with, tell your parents you're going to get your own apartment, okay? For God's sake, move out.
Get out of the basement.
Start collecting your decoys in a storage unit or something. All these guys, they go, and they have a chance to talk to 60, 70, 80-year-old guys who were at the precipice of the invention of the goose and duck calls, giving seminars, teaching. I'm super excited this year, and it could be a disaster. I'm just telling you right off the bat, because I love winging stuff, but it could be a disaster. But we've got a meat calling contest sponsored by Jargon and the Fowl Life.
You got a what calling?
We have a meat calling contest.
Meat?
So they're going to have the official calling contest.
Yeah, the state duck and goose calling contest that line you up for the national contest is going to be held there, but Joel raised his hand this year to with the Fowl Life to put on what's called a meat calling contest, which really is more about the calling that you might do in a blind or in a boat or in a field, more so than the patterned routines of the official calling contest.
That's a great way to explain it. And I have to tell you, the owners, I was back and forth with the owners of Jargon today, and they're sending calls for the first, second, and third place. Ooh. And you got to sign up at the expo. You're going to sign up at the Fowl Life booth, which is the first booth you're going to see when you walk in the door. Sign up, and if you don't think you're great or you're not big into the you know, specifics of the patterned calling, come and call for the meat contest. You got a chance to win.
The meat contest.
You got a chance to win Jargon goose and duck decoys. We're going to have some banded gear to give away, the Fowl Life gear to give away, and it's now, all that being said, I'm also doing a cooking segment there on one of the stages, which last year was awesome. I brought samples for everybody. I'm a little nervous because that went so well last year. I don't even know what I'm going to cook yet.
It did. We gave you the worst time slot of the day, and you filled it to capacity and overflowing. So you get that same worst time slot
great,
because you've proven yourself capable of handling it.
I'm in between, so I'll bounce this off you guys, and you tell me what you think. Yeah, well, and the beauty of it is we use the provider spices and rubs in the cooking. And then people get to try what we cooked. I literally handed out 150 samples, I think, and people loved it. We made Michoacan style wild goose street tacos. This year, I'm thinking of either little mini empanadas, like little mini goose or duck empanadas, or just my wild goose pot pie, which
is
unbelievable.
Done.
But that's going to take a lot of prep at the beginning to cook them all and try to keep them warm.
Do you get them? You start cooking during that day?
No, heavens.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm like,
because you're a pretty busy guy all day long, especially if you're putting on a meat calling contest.
Oh yeah, then we're selling calls and spices, and I mean, I get caught in 8 billion conversations of people who've crossed my path for 800 different ways through my life, and it's just an absolute blast. But I'm kind of like an Italian grandmother. I start prepping about in my head about 2 weeks ahead of time, and then about 4 days ahead of time I'm cooking everything to be able to hand it out. And then when we go to the show, it's kind of one of the secrets of doing cooking for TV. You really do the cooking ahead of time, and you do the assembly in front of people. And so don't give that trick away. But we're going to show people how to do that, how to make whatever we decide, empanadas or pot pies or whatever. So make sure you show up to us. What a great guest he's been today. Bruce Ross, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Waterfowl Association. Don't forget, come see Bruce. Come see Danielle. She's going to be on a panel of women hunters at the Waterfowl Hunters Expo. I'll be there doing everything from selling calls. I'm judging the meat calling contest. You name it. It's going to be a blast. We'll catch you next week with Mike Kretschmer. God only knows what he's going to say. On Raised in Wisco. Oh, no, he can't come next week.
He can't come next week.
All right. Well, guest to be announced.
Bruce Ross.
See you next Thursday, 7 p.m. WAUK.
Can I go home tonight?
You've been a country boy.
Hey, Hey, this is Joey Erickson at Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. At Civic Media, we love our local communities and want to share your stories. Submit your local event and we'll let our listeners know. Email me at joey.erickson@civicmedia.us.
It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910